यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी यशोदा नंदन भज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन भज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 28 टेक्स्ट 8 एतद् विद्वान् मद उदितम् ज्ञान विज्ञान नैपुणम् न निन्दति न च स्तौति लोके चरति सूर्यव एतद् विद्वान् मद उदितम् ज्ञान विज्ञान नैपुणम् न निन्दति न च स्तौति लोके चरति सूर्यव एतद् विद्वान् मद उदितम् ज्ञान विज्ञान नैपुणम् न निन्दति न च स्तौति लोके चरति सूर्यव एतद् विद्वान् मदुदितम् ज्ञान विज्ञान नैपुणम् न निन्दति न च स्तौति ज्ञाननैपुणम् न निन्दति न च स्तौति लोके चरति सूर्यव एता दिस् विद्वान् वन् हू नोज् मत् बै मी उदितम् डिस्क्रैब्ड् ज्ञान in knowledge, vijnana and realization, naipunam, the status of being fixed, na nindati, does not criticize, nacha, nor, stauti, praise, loke, within the world, charati, he wanders, Suryava, just like the sun. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. One who has properly understood the process of becoming firmly fixed in theoretical and transcendent, theoretical and realized knowledge, as described herein by me, does not indulge in material criticism or praise. Like the sun, he wanders freely throughout this world. Purport. Every living entity emanates from the Supreme Lord and is thus naturally full of realized knowledge. But when one becomes attached to praising or criticizing material good and bad for one's personal sense gratification, one's expert knowledge of the Lord becomes covered. A pure devotee should neither love nor hate any aspect of material illusion. He should rather accept whatever is favorable for serving Krishna and reject whatever is unfavorable, following the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वंदेहं श्री गुरुः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरोन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So, reading from this 8th chapter of the 11th canto, and in this entire episode, we are seeing that how Lord Sri Krishna, he is preparing Uddhava, because time has come when the Lord is expected to wind up his pastimes on this earth and go back to his abode. And to that end, the Lord is planning the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. But when it comes to Uddhava, the Lord wants Uddhava to act a bit differently. The Lord says to Uddhava that how at the end of, very soon the Yadus will fight amongst themselves and kill themselves in a very deadly fight. But then the Lord wants Uddhava to act differently. The Lord wants Uddhava to go to Badrika Ashram and become deeply absorbed in spiritual knowledge. So, and to that end, Krishna is advising or enlightening Uddhava in such an elaborate manner in this Uddhava Gita that we are seeing, we are hearing last so many days. And in this entire episode, the Lord is presenting different ways that how Uddhava can very strongly reconnect with Krishna himself and thus be absorbed in spiritual understanding. And this particular chapter we are seeing that Uddhava is being enlightened in Jnana Yoga. The Lord is presenting spiritual knowledge or knowledge about himself to Uddhava. And the purpose of this Jnana or the purpose of this transcendental knowledge is so that one's actions can be a bit more refined. People who are not situated in transcendental knowledge, their actions are very much material. But those who are situated in spiritual knowledge, they are expected to have much more defined actions. And therefore, it is said that Jnana Yoga assists one in three things. It assists one in distinguishing the spiritual from the material in order to deal with it appropriately. What is spiritual? What is material? Jnana Yoga assists one in distinguishing the eternal from the temporary. The material world and the aspects of the material world are temporary in nature, whereas the aspects of the spiritual world, they are eternal in nature. And at the same time, Jnana Yoga also aims at helping one distinguish between the results of temporary sense gratification and true happiness that is experienced by performing the spiritual duties. And therefore, such clarity is very much required when it comes to distinguishing between these factors. The clarity is very much required so that one remains steady and focused on his spiritual journey. So yes, these verses, Uddhava is being instructed to rise above the dualities and see the world in a different light. And by means of all these instructions, Krishna is also hinting at us that how we can also imbibe this knowledge and we can also become a bit refined in our own, you know, duties and dealings in this material world. And many times, like, you know, speaking about Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga and so many yoga, the whole concept, they just remain in the books. But here Krishna is repeatedly emphasizing that and all these dualities that we are seeing here, Krishna is specially highlighting upon two things. That one who is not absorbed in criticism and praise. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, if we see, there are many dualities that Krishna highlights, you know, happiness, distress, hot and cold, and then criticism and praise. But here in this episode, Krishna is just highlighting this one particular thing, that how one should save oneself from material criticism and praise. So what is this all about? We'll spend some time today in discussing what this material criticism and praise is all about. And what is it that makes it material? So this is nothing but an expression of what I like and what I don't like. Something that I like, I end up praising those things. Someone whom I like, I end up praising those people. Something that I don't like, I end up criticizing. And something or someone, you know, whom I don't like, I end up criticizing that person. And in doing so, a person remains in that bondage. In trying to figure out what is it, trying to favor, trying to accumulate what we like and give up what we don't like. So one time Srila Prabhupada, he was lecturing in the Los Angeles temple. And he was explaining about the caravan. Just like in the desert, there is a caravan of camels that they go. So, the desert, there are two things. The sun is very hot and the air is very dry. And caravan means lot of camels and a long journey. So, all these camels, they pass a lot of stool. And when that stool falls on the ground, because of the hot sun and the dry air, the stool kind of becomes dry on the surface. But then beneath the surface, it is still the same. So the disciple said, oh Prabhupada, so, you know, top part has become dry. But the bottom part is still moist. So that is nice. So Prabhupada said, what dry, what moist? Everything is the same. It is, at the end of the day, it is actually stool. So similarly, when we look at these dualities, whether it is criticism, whether it is praise, as long as there is the aspect of materialism attached to it, it is ultimately bad, it is ultimately good. So we'll see that how this material criticism and praise is detrimental for us, how can we rise above it, and how do we benefit when we rise above it. So this material criticism and praise we see in the world today, everywhere, all around us. It is there in the media. The media is full of nothing but material criticism and praise. What people, you know, did something nice, nice decisions, nice, you know, policies, those are being praised. And some, you know, bad decisions or bad actions of someone, that is being criticized by the media. Even when people go to a restaurant, ordering a menu, when people go to a restaurant, they ask for the menu. And what is it that, what is that basis by which they decide what they are going to have? Nahin, I don't like this, therefore I am not going to have this. Nahin, this is very nice. I prefer this. Last time we had this, it was very nice. So no, just judging what is good, what is wrong, and then going ahead. So yes, so far as the mind is busy in defining preferences based on our likings, whether this is I like this, I don't like this, No. Till that time, we can't achieve anything higher. And therefore, it is said that these effects of material criticism, they can be categorized into four different categories. So, whenever there is material criticism, the very first thing that happens is that it feeds the false ego. Whenever someone criticizes someone, the false ego of the person is, you know, kind of filled up. And what this material criticism is essentially but nothing but casting judgment upon something that we experience. In other words, it is said that in a subtle way, it is kind of exercising one's superiority. When I give a judgment based on my liking, based on my understanding, whether something is right or wrong, when I give that judgment, there is a very subtle experience of feeling superior. And that is where a living entity, a spirit soul, starts acting contrary to one's nature. The nature of the living entity is to subservient to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when a living entity starts behaving in a such a manner wherein grossly or subtly he starts experiencing a superior feeling, that is what feeds the false ego. And this false ego, it is mentioned, is the last covering, is the most subtle and the most strongest covering on the living on the spirit soul. And therefore, unless and until this is addressed, there is very little chance that the soul will get relieved from the coverings, the material coverings. And this particular aspect, feeding the false ego, is very much visible in the pastime of Daksha Yajna. The episode happens that how when Daksha is performing, is planning for this big sacrifice, and he has called all these demigods and all the great personalities, and Lord Shiva also happens to be seated there. And Daksha, he has that subtle feeling of superiority from the very beginning, and therefore he is expecting people to respect him. And he walks into the sacrificial arena, and all these great personalities, they stand up. However, Lord Shiva, because he is transcendentally situated, he doesn't consider it very important to rise before Daksha. And he remains seated. Now that is where, this is what infuriates Daksha. And Daksha, he starts, you know, chastising left, right and center. He starts criticizing Lord Shiva like anything. And becoming totally frustrated, he speaks for a long, large amount of time and then he walks out. Now when Daksha has criticized so much, Nandishwar on the side of Lord Shiva, he is unable to bear the criticism of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva didn't take any of those criticism. But Nandishwar, he takes all that criticism of Daksha and then he starts criticizing all the followers of Daksha. All the people who had, you know, assembled there to perform the sacrifice on behalf of Daksha. And Nandishwar starts blaspheming and criticizing that, you know, all of you brahmanas, all of you are good for nothing, and I curse you that very soon you will lose your real merit and you will just be attached to ritualistic sacrifices, and you will lose all the essence, you will forget everything and you will just work for money, and Nandishwar is criticizing again. Now hearing this criticism of Nandishwar, the other party, which is led by Bhrigumuni. So Bhrigumuni rises up and Bhrigumuni starts criticizing all the followers of Lord Shiva that you consider yourself to be so exalted, and you know, we curse you that you will lose all your knowledge and you will just be absorbed in ignorant activities and so on and so forth. And every party essentially is nothing but feeding one's false ego. Daksha fed his false ego. Nandishwar on his part, because of criticizing, you know, all these brahmanas, here we see nothing but feeding of the false ego of the respective parties. So therefore, this is something very important for us to understand, because as aspirants of bhakti as aspirants of devotional service, when we are endeavoring on this path of getting rid of the material contaminations, getting rid of the material coverings, if there is Prabhupada used to give that example that if someone is trying to extinguish the fire on one hand, at the same time trying to fuel it using, you know, trying to fuel it, then there is no chance that the fire will ever be extinguished. So therefore one has to be very cautious and very explicitly endeavor to contain himself whenever there is an urge for this material criticism. So first effect was feeding the false ego. The second effect that is pretty much visible is how when there is material criticism in place, the relationships are hampered. Most of the psychologists, they agree that criticism doesn't lead to change in the behavior of the people. We see a lot of such criticisms happening in the corporate world today. And corporate world, you know, these bosses and, you know, big shots, quote unquote, they take pleasure in trying to, you know, demean or sometimes, you know, even knowingly trying to just push down the people under them. And therefore, it has a very contrary effect. Instead of the subordinates feeling inspired or taking it in the right sense, there is a feeling of grudge that develops. There is a feeling of retaliation that develops, that sets in. And instead of improving the behavior, it often leads to anger and defensiveness on the part of the person who is being criticized. So it is very important to understand that whenever, even if there is a correction that needs to be made, there are two things that are in place. One thing is criticism, one thing is complaints, and the other is criticism. So these are two very different things. Complaining is something about the issue. Like sometimes if I find something wrong happening in the kitchen, say for example, right? So there are two aspects in which a person can respond to it. One can, you know, highlight the issue. This is something that was, you know, not appropriate or something that went wrong. So that is complaining. Yeah, that is a complaint. But on the other hand, if there is criticism, I mean bundling everyone in one rope and, you know, tying them and, you know, ye log, sab log, hopeless case. They are never going to, you know, improve. And dark. I mean, because of one particular thing, when there is a generalization, that is something that is that actually hampers the relationship. Because till the time there are complaints that are being addressed, there is a huge probability that it is taken in the right spirit. But instead of complaint, when there is criticism, that criticism targets the character of the person that is involved. Whereas a complaint targets the issue, addressing the issue, criticism targets the character of the person that is involved. And therefore, we see that how in this world, even big fights, they ensue when character is being tainted. Whether it is in a family or whether it is between nations, whenever there is a pointing on the character, that is when things flare up. But then when there are issues that are discussed, there is quite a probability that things could be solved. A beautiful example in this case is of Suruchi. So Suruchi herein is criticizing, or he is, Suruchi comes and she finds that Dhruva is wanting to sit on the lap of Maharaj Uttanapad. And Maharaj Uttanapad, she hears the words of Suruchi criticizing Dhruva, and he doesn't speak a word. And Dhruva, he is not so angry with Suruchi, he is more upset with the character of Uttanapad. Because Uttanapad, he doesn't, you know, jump in there to address the issue. Because Uttanapad doesn't speak a word, he doesn't defend Dhruva, the desire of Dhruva, which was very much legitimate. Dhruva understands that, you know, Dhruva understands the true character of Uttanapad. That here Uttanapad Maharaj, You know, he thinks that he is such a big person. He thinks that he is the emperor of such a huge kingdom. And that is what leads Dhruva to take that resolve, that I will also desire to have a kingdom much greater than him, and I will prove it to him. So this is, because of simple criticism on the part of Suruchi, we see how the relationship between Dhruva and Uttanapad, they are getting seriously hampered. So that is about the second effect of material criticism, hampering of relationship. Another thing that happens is, how when this is done repeatedly, it becomes a habit. Because by nature, the conditioned soul is wired for criticism. Being in the material world, the spirit soul who has, you know, got all these material conditioning since many, many lifetimes, being conditioned to, you know, proving the entire world his supremacy. The other part of proving one's supremacy is to highlight others, you know, discrepancies. And in doing so, criticism is inevitably in place. And therefore it is said that habits, they act like fuel to the fire. On one hand, if a spiritual practitioner is wanting to get rid of the conditionings, on one hand, because of habit, again these criticism is there very much in place, then in such criticisms, they act like fuel to the fire. We see from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that how Ramchandra Puri, he had gotten into such a habit of criticizing. And it is mentioned that it all began when Ramchandra Puri was at the bedside of Madhavendra Puri at the last days of his life. And Madhavendra Puri, Shripad Madhavendra Puri, he wanted to remember the Supreme Lord, and he was yearning to go to the holy abode of Mathura. But then Ramachandra Puri, he kind of starts criticizing Madhavendra Puri, that you are in the last moment of your life, now you should be remembering Brahman. Why are you remembering Mathura? Hearing that, Madhavendra Puri is very much disturbed, and he curses Ramachandra Puri, that, you know, I curse you that you will be bereft of all devotion, and you will, you know, really progress on the path of materialism, like that. So anyways, Ramchandra Puri, he comes. But when he comes to Jagannath Puri, also, he continues with that habit. And it is mentioned that one time, he goes to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagdananda Pandit. And he invites them for lunch. He invites Jagdananda Pandit for lunch. And he starts feeding him very sumptuously. And he is waiting and watching. How much is he eating? And when he finished, he starts criticizing that you are a spiritualist, you are a sannyasi, and still look, you are eating so much. Now I can understand, you know, what is your true nature, what you are hiding, you know, behind your face, like that. And this habit even continues, criticism of Madhavendra Puri, criticism of Jagadananda Pandit. This criticism ends up at the criticism of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, wherein Ramchandra Puri, he ends up criticizing even Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that I can see that how much you are eating. It is the Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Ramchandra Puri, he didn't consider any of his activities, he didn't evaluate any of his activities, but he always kept a count of the activities of the other people. Who is going where, how much is, you know, the other person eating, and, you know, what dishes he likes and everything, and of that sort. And when he points to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he cuts his entire diet into half. He starts taking a very little portion of food every day. And the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they are very much upset about this. That, you know, and all these devotees led by Jagadanand Pandit, they go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they start, you know, to request him that why do you listen to the words of Ramchandra Puri? He has that habit of criticizing people. for nothing substantial. And one of the very beautiful verses which Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he comments on from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this 8.79, very, very nice purport Srila Prabhupada writes. So the verse is, Taramadhye Purva Vidhi Prashamsa Chhadiya Paravidhi Nindakare Balisht Janiya. Of the two rules, Ramchandra Puri obeys the first rule by abandoning praise. So Ramchandra Puri, he never used to praise the good aspect of anyone. But when it came to criticizing someone, he was in the forefront. So this verse mentions, this here in Jagadanand Pandit is saying that Ramchandra Puri, he obeys the first rule of not praising anyone very diligently. He doesn't praise anyone. But although he knows that the second is more prominent, he neglects it by criticizing others. And Srila Prabhupada, he gives a very, very enlightening purport to this particular verse. So, he writes that the above mentioned verse from Srimad Bhagavatam gives two injunctions. The first, called Purva Vidhi, is that one should not praise. And the second, called Para Vidhi, is that one should not criticize. As will be apparent from the following verses, the injunction against praise is less important than the injunction against blasphemy. One should carefully observe the paravidhi, although one may neglect the purvavidhi. So even if one neglects the purvavidhi of not praising someone, one should follow the paravidhi of not criticizing someone more diligently. Thus the actual injunction is that one may praise, but one should not criticize. This is called Shleshokti, or a statement having two meanings. Ramchandra Puri, however, acted in just the opposite way, for he neglected the Paravidhi but strictly observed the Purvavidhi. Since he avoided following the principle of not criticizing, Ramchandra Puri broke both the rules. So yeah, the first thing that happens, material criticism feeds the false ego, hampers the relationship, and it becomes a habit. And last but not the least is such a person, for such a person it is very difficult for him to understand Krishna. In this particular purport of the verse we are reading, the purport mentions that when one becomes attached to praising or criticizing material good and bad for one's personal sense gratification, one's expert knowledge of the Lord becomes covered. Again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the same episode of Ramchandra Puri, it is mentioned that Prabhura Yateka Guna Sparshite Narila Chidra Chahi Bahu Chidra Chahi Bule Kanha Chidrana Paila. Because Ramchandra Puri was interested only in finding faults, he could not understand the transcendental qualities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His only concern was finding faults, but still he could not find any. So yes, you know, when one is overly engaged or busy in finding faults in this material criticism, it is very difficult for him to shift his mental focus to surrender to the Supreme Lord himself. And therefore, all this criticism and, you know, what is it that makes such a criticism material or spiritual? It is mentioned that once criticism, one, the purpose and the consciousness of one's criticism is what gives it a material or a spiritual tinge. Because we see even in the scriptures, instances of criticism taking place. And one way mistake, you know, how is it that the exalted gopis of Vrindavan, they are criticizing Lord Brahma himself for creating these islets. So in one sense, a person might mistake it. That even such devotees, you know, there are instances that such exalted devotees, they are also resorting to criticism. They are criticizing Lord Brahma for making these islets. But what is the purpose? The purpose is their extreme attachment to the Supreme Lord. The purpose is their desire to have constant darshan of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, there is no aspect of, you know, demeaning such a great personality like Brahmaji. It is only out of pure love for the Supreme Lord and without any ill motive, without any negative feeling for Lord Brahmaji that the gopis are speaking in such a way. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, we see that how Sukadev Goswami, he is repeatedly praising Parikshit Maharaj for the kind of questions that he is asking, for the kind of attentiveness that he is displaying in hearing the message of Sukadev Goswami. And repeatedly Sukadev Goswami is praising profusely Parikshit Maharaj. Now that is also not material praise. That is actually praising the intent, desire of Parikshit Maharaj to hear about Krishna. And I thought of discussing something on similar lines, that how even in the Ramayana, tomorrow happens the festival of Ramanavami. So even in Ramayana, how these episodes of, you know, material criticism and praise is very diligently displayed by the personality of Lord Sri Ramachandra. And it is said that Lord Sri Ramachandra, he is known as Maryada Purushottam. The very purpose of the descent of Lord Sri Ramachandra is to set standards, is to display Maryada, is to lead a life of discipline. And by his own example, teach the people in general what should be the quality of our dealings when we deal with other people. So yeah, when it comes to praising others, we see the episode when the entire Ayodhya is waiting for the coronation of Lord Sri Ramachandra. Very, very eagerly everyone in Ayodhya is waiting that when will, you know, Dashrath Maharaj will make Lord Ramachandra as the king of Ayodhya. And the moment the news is released, Dashrath Maharaj, he consults his assembly of sages and he asks them to announce to the whole kingdom that tomorrow Lord Ramachandra will be coronated as the king of Ayodhya. And all these celebrations, they kind of begin and everyone is happy. The, you know, sage Vasishtha and Vishwamitra and everyone and all the kingdoms of Ayodhya, they are full of praises for Lord Ramachandra. But when Dashrath Maharaj, he calls Lord Ram himself. Lord Ramachandra appears before Dashrath Maharaj. And Dashrath Maharaj, he is praising and is so happy. And he breaks this news that, you know, all of us have decided that tomorrow will be the coronation. So it's not that Lord Ramachandra, he starts becoming, you know, my God, I had been waiting for this day. Thank you, Dad. You know, nahin. Lord Ramachandra, he is very grave. He is very grave and he is focused on executing the responsibilities that lie ahead of him as a king. Of course, the whole situation turns the other way. But then the response of Lord Ramachandra is very noteworthy, wherein he doesn't start praising Dashrath Maharaj. You know, at the end, now you have made a wonderful decision. You know, congratulations. Congratulations to me and all glories to you. He doesn't start praising Dashrath Maharaj. The entire Ayodhya is praising. But Lord Ramachandra, he is very grave and he is very, you know, contemplative about the responsibilities that lie ahead of him. Similarly, when we see that when the pastime unfolds a little more and Lord Ramachandra is exiled into the forest and is preparing to leave for the forest, Mother Sita, she also submits her plea to accompany him. Here again, Lord Ramachandra, he doesn't start praising Sita. Thank you for being such a nice wife. Finally, you understood that out there in the jungle, there will be so much difficulties and definitely I'll need some help. And Lord Ramachandra, he doesn't start praising Mother Sita for her kind of decision. Instead, Lord Ramachandra, he asks Mother Sita to be, you know, for her to stay behind. So herein we see that how Lord Ramachandra is not resorting to such material praise. Similarly, when it comes to criticizing, when Kaikeyi, she asked Dashrath Maharaj for the two boons, and because of those two boons, Dashrath Maharaj, he executes those two boons and pronounces a 14-year exile for Lord Ramchandra and pronounces that Bharat will be the next king. When this decision is announced, everyone unanimously starts criticizing Kaikeyi for the kind of behavior that she has displayed. Lakshman is criticizing, Bharat is criticizing, Dasharatha Maharaj is criticizing. What has happened to you? Are you in your wits? Tomorrow is the coronation and tonight you are asking for such a ghastly, you know, benediction. Everyone is criticizing Kaikeyi. But then when it comes to Lord Ramchandra, he doesn't join the bandwagon. He doesn't join everyone in, you know, yeah, all of you are right. You know, she should be immediately, you know, put behind bars. Nothing doing. I am going to the king tomorrow. He doesn't join. Instead, he accepts the wishes of Kaikeyi and he starts preparing to get into exile. Similarly, Lord Ramchandra, he doesn't start criticizing Dasharatha Maharaj himself. When Bharat he hears that Dasharatha Maharaj has you know, exiled his brother and only for making him the king, Bharat says that, you know, he is not acting in the role of my father now. And, you know, Bharat starts criticizing, Lakshman also starts criticizing. But then Lord Ramchandra again, he is not criticizing. Similarly, when Lord Ramchandra is in the kingdom of King Guha after coming out from Ayodhya, and in that kingdom again, he says that there is a huge army that is coming. I think it's Chitrakoot, they see that Bharat is coming with a huge army. And then Lakshman, he climbs atop a tree and he starts criticizing Bharat. I knew. As if getting the kingdom was not enough, now he wants to finish you and therefore he is coming with such a huge army. Therefore, let's get ready. Let's, you know, get ready our bows and arrow for a big fight. Ramchandra stops him. No, you are mistaking. I know my brother Bharat. I know the intent for which he is coming here. And therefore, relax. So again, Lord Ramchandra, he is not criticizing Bharat either. So here we see that yes, even in his own pastime, said Lord Ramchandra, he follows this principle of abstaining from criticism in a very diligent manner. So, okay, how can we rise above this material criticism and praise? This is the very purpose for which the Supreme Lord Krishna is explaining this verse here. The Lord is mentioning here that a pure devotee should, just properly, one who understands the process of becoming firmly fixed and transcendental and realized knowledge. So, two requirements. Krishna is highlighting two requirements here. One is theoretical knowledge, because one of the characteristics of transcendental knowledge is uttama. The Gita describes that how transcendental knowledge is uttama. When one is fully situated in transcendental knowledge, that actually uplifts one from ignorance. Tama is ignorance and uttama is coming out of that illusion or coming out of that ignorance. And realized knowledge is when that theory is accompanied by practice, it turns into realization. So when these two things are there, that is when one raises himself from such material criticism and praise. In the purport it is mentioned that the pure devotee should neither love nor hate any aspect of material illusion. And he should rather accept whatever is favorable for serving Krishna and reject whatever is unfavorable, following the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. So herein, these two steps are highlighted, how one can actually raise oneself from material criticism and praise, is by anukulasya sankalpa pratikulasya varjanam. That accepting something that is favorable for serving Krishna. Again, the purpose, the consciousness has to be very much clear. If the purpose and consciousness is very much fixed in accepting what is favorable for serving Krishna, one will naturally abstain from the negative habit of indulging in material criticism and praise. Similarly, rejecting whatever is unfavorable. So, anukulasya sankalpah pratikulasya varjanam. And second is following the guidance of the spiritual master. Again and again, the point is being highlighted by Krishna to Uddhava, is being highlighted by Srila Prabhupada in his purports, and is being highlighted by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada in this particular purport as well. And the formula, it is said, is the same for physical well-being and spiritual well-being. How, just like for spiritual well-being also, one accepts something that is favorable and rejects something that is unfavorable. If we know what is favorable for my physical well-being, I accept it. If I know what is detrimental for my physical well-being, I abstain from it. So we follow that principle for physical well-being. And similarly, we follow the instructions of exalted or learned people when it comes to following one's physical well-being. So similarly, the same two principles apply even for ensuring one's spiritual well-being. Following what is favorable for serving Krishna and rejecting what is unfavorable for serving Krishna. So herein again we see that these conversations between Krishna and Uddhava, they are giving us such practical instructions. Krishna and Uddhava, this entire 11th canto, it's not just stories of Pingala and the Brahmana and, you know, all these different people and 24 gurus and so on and so forth. And then Krishna is giving knowledge. So if we take it just as a very detached conversation happening between Krishna and Uddhava, we may not benefit. But when we decode the hidden lessons behind these pastimes, because again, Gita mentions that how every activity of the Supreme Lord is transcendental in nature. It is not that 90% or 95% of the activities of the Lord are transcendental, but maybe, you know, just one to few percentage might also be material. No, it's not like that. The Lord says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. All of his activities are transcendental in nature. And anyone who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's activities doesn't come back to this material world upon leaving this world. So yes, it is very important for us to decode these pastimes of the Lord in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata, based on his dealings with his devotees, how the Supreme Lord is trying to hint, or Supreme Lord is trying to, you know, help us, you know, improve in our own practical day-to-day scenario. So it is mentioned that when we go through these pastimes, we should be focused in fivefold ways when we approach these pastimes of the Lord. The very first thing is, one should take into account the place of the pastime, the situation of the pastime, the moods that are involved, the emotions that are involved between the characters. So when we delve into getting into the details of the place, the setting, that is when we actually enter into the deeper mysteries of the pastimes of the Lord, going beyond the facts and figures. When did this happen? When did that happen? The first of is the place. The second is, one should probe the pastimes of the Lord, grasp the finer details and the hidden perspectives. And we see how the acharyas, they give a variety of commentaries for us to probe into those pastimes. Because those pastimes, they are like, you know, deep questions in which there are very valuable gems, very valuable practical lessons that are hidden. So only when a person probes into the pastimes of the Lord, can one achieve such valuable insights. So along with contemplating on the place and probing into the pastimes, one should also have a simultaneous prayer. Praying to the Lord to reveal to us the lessons that are particularly needed for us to implement. Otherwise, it may be just a detached reading. Unless and until the pastime is accompanied by a personal prayer for the Lord to highlight what is it that I can benefit. Like here in this entire pastime, we see that repeatedly Krishna is emphasizing abstain from this material criticism and praise. This is detrimental. So similarly, when a person has that praying attitude, that is when one is able to figure out the practical steps to take in his personal spiritual upliftment. And finally, one has to also practice the lessons. Just knowing the lessons is not enough. One should practice those lessons, because when we go through such variety of commentaries, when we go through the explanations of the acharyas, we get very practical tips. And then we can deeply contemplate how to apply and practice them in our own life. And when there is a successful practice, that is when we are able to appreciate the knowledge and the quality of the Supreme Lord, and we are able to attract the mercy of the Lord by the proper practice. So yes, along with focusing on the place, the setting of the pastime, and probing into the details, having a prayerful attitude, practicing the lessons that we learn, and finally publicizing. Because when we read what we have read and realized and applied, then the knowledge becomes even more deeply situated within our hearts. And this is a very powerful way of deepening one's own understanding, and also helping to deepen the understanding of the audience that we are publicizing to. So when we resort to the pastimes of the Lord in these fivefold ways, that is when we become Loke Charati Suryavat. Like the sun, he wanders freely throughout the whole world. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentions that after realizing this knowledge and its application, as instructed by the Supreme Lord, learned devotees, they treat everyone equally, just like the sun, which distributes its heat and light to all without discrimination. So this is the true meaning of rising above the dualities. Rising above the dualities, unless and until it doesn't reflect in our dealings with people in this world, there is no true meaning to rising above those dualities. And therefore, we see that how even Srila Prabhupada, he has taken a lot of pain in trying to help us understand the details of the detailed lessons and instructions hinted in these pastimes. And therefore, it behooves us to take these pastimes in the right light and use it for our own benefit. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki jai.